Hope everyone is doing well. Hope you can hear me. Let's start this morning with prayer. Let's bow. The Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the sun that shines down on us. Thank you for each and every blessing that you give us, even the ones that we fail to recognize, for we are blessed way beyond we can measure. Lord, give us ears to hear this morning, eyes to see your word. Bless people who are listening for the things that are necessary to make us more like in the image of your Son, not just the things that tickle us and make us happy. Lord, let's be present this morning, not concerned about things to do or what has been done or where to go and time. And let's be present in your word and in your presence, Lord. Pour your spirit upon us this morning. Let's hear truth from your word. And let's be people who live truth in our daily lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Need a bigger podium, evidently. About 477 AD, two generals were at war. One general had a treasure, and before he left to war, he buried it in a stone underneath his tent. Packed his stuff up, went to war, was defeated in war. But the other general, the conquering general, knew about the treasure that was hidden. So he went in search and could not find it, went back to his advisors and said, "Where is this treasure? Help me find his treasure." His advisors told him, "Go search the tent campsite, go search where his tent was, and leave no stone unturned." That's where that phrase comes from. I want you to take that story this morning and put it on the back burner. Let it simmer. And we'll come back to that. March 5th, 2016, a process was started. And if you're new to this church or you're visiting this morning, the year of 2016, my church was in an interim session, a transition session. A session that left lots of questions, a little anxiety, and a lot of people in our search committee lost a lot of sleep. I can promise you that. There was tears even shed, and lots of smiles and laughter. Now, I wish Amy Crownover was here today because she makes some high-powered coffee that powered us through several meetings. And for about 238 days, and probably still to this day, members of our search committee spent probably every waking minute, they thought about who would be the next guy right here. And who would be the next guy to fill our pulpit? Who would be the guy to lead our church into the community and prep ourselves to go to that community? And that was on the minds of our search committee. Every day. Probably every hour. At least once every 10 minutes. And we knew the task ahead was important. And that's why we're so thankful for the prayers each and every Sunday up here. And the prayers in your home. And the prayers in your life group. We were thankful for it to be bathed in prayer and for God's hand to be on our committee. We knew that the process was important to the church. The process was important to the community. And to body it up, we knew it was a giant. And that ought to be your key word this morning where we're going. For if you're familiar with church, you grew up in Bible school, you heard the story of a giant. So turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we'll stay there and we'll walk through the story of David and Goliath. So we're going to start in verse 2. "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up in the line of battle against Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and the Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." That's about 9 feet 9. "He had a helmet of bronze on his head. He was armored with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. And the shaft of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield and the shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for the battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you are not the servant of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves. Let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Like I said, you've heard this story. If you've grown up in Bible class, and you'd also hear this comparison in sports world today, where you have one severely undermatched team against the prolific powerhouse or the traditional powerhouse in the sports. You hear this story and this comparison a lot. And often this is what we envision when we hear David and Goliath. We think of a child's story. But the truth is, this is no children's story. This is a story that is real life. This is a story that we should be able to find ourselves in. You know, we always talk about in our Bible classes and in the library and in our life groups that we try to place ourselves in our stories of the Bible. You know, how do we react to that? You know, how does that impact our lives today? And the truth really is that either we will face a giant, we are facing a giant, or we just did face a giant in our lives. We all face giants in our lives. Think about, you know, and we always go to the comparison of sin. We think of sin as a giant, and sin is a giant in our lives. And we go to the easy ones that, you know, we may not have dabbled in. We may not have dabbled in addiction. You know, we may not have dabbled in homosexuality, and we may not have dabbled in A, B, or C that we label as big sins. And we think of that as a giant. But what about gossip, and what about lust, and what about greed, and worry? I mean, have you ever worried about that you worry too much? Guilty. You know, we lay these different sins out there, but a giant could also be a situation in our life. You know, who here's married? That means you have married problems. That's the type of people married people have. You have issues in your marriage, and you may have an issue in your marriage that may be a giant in your life. You know, who's a parent? You know, you may have parenting problems that may be a giant in your life right now. Who's a child here that has parents? Quit being a problem. I kid. That was too easy. I had to. No, you know, there's often problems and different giants in our life. Now, it may be in our job. And it may, whatever, you know, situation in our life, it can be a giant. So it's often important that we be able to identify giants in our life. One thing is, it makes our kingdom stand still. For in 1 Samuel 17, it says, on verse 16, it says, "For 40 days of Philistines came forward and took the stand, morning and evening." There's some deep meaning to the idea of 40 days. We won't go into that, so I encourage you to investigate that on your own. But their kingdom stood still. Saul was not able to do what a king should do and govern his kingdom and make his kingdom prosperous and to go and take care of his people, because he was stuck facing a giant day after day after day after day after day. This giant stood on a hillside and called him out. And he did not go face like a king should. You know, it said, in a giant, he stands on his hillside, he may call you out by name. A sin may be calling you out by name daily. A problem in your life may be calling you out daily. And that brings fear and intimidation in your lives. Look at verses 23 and 24. And he talked with them, behold, the champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, day after day. And David heard him. And the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. They wanted to run because they felt like they were outgunned and outmanned, didn't stand a chance. And it was one man. And the question is, do we feel outgunned and outmanned in our life? And the one thing that was unique, that when I went back and read this story, I thought about this giant, that adversity was not just this one-on-one man and giant, but the giant brought adversity from around David. This is his older brother. Now, Eliab, in verse 28, now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the man. And Eliab was kindled against David, and he said, why have you come down? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? It's kind of a dig there. Go take care of your little sheep. I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. You're here for no good. You just want to see blood. And David said, what have I done now? Was it not but a word? And he turned, y'all can read it. And he turned away from him toward another. And he spoke the way the people answered him again as before. The giant brings adversity from those around us. They may ask, why are you here? You're not important. You cannot handle the situation. And we go back to the search process because that was a giant for us. It's very intimidating. So much so, when I was approached about it the first time, I said no. I said, I'm teaching a Bible class. I'm leading a life group. I don't got time. That's a big deal. I know a lot of people are going to be, you know, kind of on their pins and needles about it. I'm not sure I want to do that. And then thanks for the patience of our elders and the guidance of them. They said, just think about it. Really strongly think about it. And I was able to think about it and let that marinate on my heart. And then the elders continued to support me through that process. But look at David's response to a giant. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. David said, Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and will fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, but you are but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father when there came a lamb, a bear, and took a lamb from the flock. I went after him. I struck him. I delivered it out of his mouth, and if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. For he has defiled the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of a lion and from the paw of a bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Paints a different picture of David, doesn't it? The picture we showed before is one we kind of thought of as a childhood, as this little kid who happened to get lucky with a slingshot and a stone. But that's not the picture that David paints of himself. David said, God has prepared me. I've seen lions and bears. They said, I didn't say, oh my. He says, you know, I've gone into the wilderness and I've slayed bigger and badder things. I don't know if you guys love a good visit to the zoo, but I do. I love a good zoo visit. I love to go see creation. And then every time we go on a trip, if there's a zoo nearby, we like to stop. Hey, let's stop in and check it out. You ever seen a lion? No, runs about 50 miles an hour, 6.5 foot long, up to 460 pounds of teeth, mite, claw, and bite. Just bred and made and designed to hunt and kill. And David says, I took him down. Ever seen a bear? They look cute and cuddly, but they run about 40 miles an hour, 800 pounds. And if you ever go hiking in the wilderness, they give you bear spray. I don't know why they do, but they do, because I'm not sure it's even going to work. But there's these big animals that were designed to hunt and kill that are made out of might and ferocity and muscle. David said, I took them down. Now, I think of that perspective of David. He says, God has prepared me for this moment. He says, I'm ready. And I think, would I rather fight a lion? If you gave me a choice, a lion, a bear, or a very big guy who carried armor, hundreds of pounds, and a shield and a spear that weighed about a 15-pound head on it, you gave me a choice which to fight, I'd pick the Goliath. Don't give me the bear or the lion. Give me the giant. And the thing that amazes me, he says, God is with me. God of Israel is with me. And Saul goes on to offer him armor. And he says, no, I won't take your armor because it has not been tested. To me, that is a statement that is overlooked. He turns down armor because it's not been tested, but he chooses a God who has been tested. A God who is true to him. A God he knew would be with him. So the question, we see this outmatch, this outranked opponent of what has always been told. But the more and more I read the story, I think, was it even a fair fight for Goliath? Did he even stand a chance? And a fun fact to read about this story is that, you read that David goes and picks up 5 stones. I first heard this from Billy, and Ralph reminded us in our guys' Bible study, there may be something more to the 5 stones that David picked up. So write this down, and I want you to read this sometime. 2 Samuel chapter 21, 15 through 22. I want to repeat that. 2 Samuel chapter 21, 15 through 22. Goliath, this is spoiler alert before you get there. Goliath was not the only giant in the Bible. And he's not the only one to be killed by David and his army. I think exactly there's 4 more. Think about that. See, we must have God on our side when we face our giants. For often, when the world and life and Satan bring fear and intimidation, we're called to bring God. And we think, and we leave that alone, we think we're a fight is by ourselves. And we think we're standing here and we don't have an army. And the giant calls us out daily and day and day and day and day. And it's exhausting. Through our search process, it was a daily fight against a giant. And when I began to pivot into a fighter stance is when I looked back in my own life and realized God had prepared me for this moment. If you ever work in higher education, you know that to make a decision or a hire, we're going to form a committee. And then we're going to form a subcommittee. And then we may form another subcommittee. It's the way the nature of the animal is in higher education. I look back in my professional experience and seeing committee for this, committee for that. Hiring committee, search committee, hiring committee. And I look back at my own life and said, and I think me and Jesse were talking about this, I said, maybe God's prepared me for this moment. Maybe God is calling me to be this guy that they want to lead this search. And then we began to realize as the search went on, and I think a lot of it has to do with the prayers and the commitment from our church, that God was working. God was with us. God led us to a unanimous decision and his perfect time. I cannot stress how perfect God's time was. For if we had done the search a year before, we have not got the same guy in the same situation. Our church would not be focused on our community. We would not have a guy who was longing and eager and hungry to reach a community of people. Not a day sooner or day later, God's timing is perfect. See, God prepared a man for us. He prepared us to search on the committee. God is preparing our church to reach a committee. God is with us and God is working in us. And God is preparing us to face the giants of our community, the giants with our church. He's preparing us to knock them down. And it sounds real easy when we talk about giants to give, to say, you know, put your faith in God, have confidence in God. And those things are correct. Those things are true. But the truth is, some of us today, maybe here today, have lost confidence. We may have been fighting a giant daily, and we may be wondering, where's our God? We may be exhausted. We may be beat down. We may be, where are you, God? Because the giant has stood on the opposite hillside of us and called us out by name. He's intimidated us, and we feel worthless. We're wondering, where is God? Where are you? Where is the love of God? If you would, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And if you're one of those people this morning who's really just lost confidence in your fight against your giant, I want you to listen real carefully. See, Romans 8 starts off with a very powerful verse. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to talk about whether we should live life by the flesh or life by the Spirit. And we're calling to live the Spirit-filled life and live life to be directed by the Spirit of God. And that God understands his Spirit, that the Spirit that cries, Abba, Father, that helps us in his weakness. When we don't have words, our spirit cries to God. So if you feel like you have no hope, no confidence in one of his God, listen to verses 32 to the end of the chapter. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long, we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure, and NIV says, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember that story I told you about the stones and the treasure? What length was God willing to go to save you and love you and show his love for you? God left no stone unturned for you. God left no stone unturned to face David's giant. In fact, he unturned a bigger stone for us, a stone that blocked a tomb. And when that tomb was empty, Mary ran down the street saying, I have seen the Lord. For God is willing to go to, he laid down his own son at all costs, all lengths possible to show his love for you. You are his treasure, and he gave it all for you. Because we are more than conquerors through him. And nothing on earth, in this universe, in time, will separate us from the love of God. So this morning, If you're tired of facing a giant daily, and you feel like you're losing, and you've lost your confidence, I want you to know there's an army here. For years I've heard stories of people who come to our church and talk about how our church is a place of healing. And I believe that now more than ever. That our church offers healing, and we will fight your giant with you. We will stand side by side with you. And we will be conquerors with you. If you're not a Christian this morning, and you won't put your faith in Jesus Christ, the fact that he rose from the grave and that tomb was empty and that stone was removed for you, I'm going to invite you this morning to put your faith in him, a faith that gives us righteousness, be immersed in baptism, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and be sealed with him, so you will receive that promise of a home in heaven. Come as we stand and sing.